Hello, and welcome to Water in the 505-575. I'm Joni Palmer, your guide on this journey about water in New Mexico. So what would happen if you went to turn on the bathroom faucet to wash your hands and nothing came out? Normally, this would be an inconvenience. Right now, it could be catastrophic. Most of us are spending a lot more time at home, and with the threat of coronavirus, we need to wash our hands a lot more often. The Albuquerque Bernalillo Water Utility Authority provides water and wastewater services to the greater Albuquerque metropolitan area. Today, I will be talking with John Stomp at the Albuquerque Water Utility Authority. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us today. Tell us, your title and what it is that you do in terms of the Water Authority.
I'm the Chief Operating Officer. I have been with the utility. This is my 25th year, actually. I started as the Water Resources Manager back in 1997. I did that for 13 years, and then I've been the COO now for, this is my 10th year.
So, that leads into, the first question, which is, is our drinking water safe from the coronavirus? And is there any special treatment or special precautions that you all are taking to keep our water safe?
Well, part of the process of water treatment is to kill bacteria, viruses, and those kinds of things. And so we're not doing anything different with this. We haven't seen any kind of coronavirus in our water supply. I don't think anybody in the country's ever tested for that. But we are required to chlorinate, and we have disinfection requirements. And so I think that we don't have any issues with the water supply. And again, the entire intent of the Safe Drinking Water Act is to protect people from viruses like this. So I think the water supply is perfectly protected. And because of all the work we've done, we do have a long-term water supply here. So we're blessed in that way too, mainly because of our conservation efforts and a lot of other things that we've done. So we're really good on the quality for sure. And the public can be assured that we're constantly testing the water. We have certain protocols that we have to do. And we have to report all of those things. And also our customers can get information from us on their water quality anytime. They can call our water quality hotline. They can tell us what their address is. We'll tell them what zone they're in. And then we can tell them, what we think the water quality is in a particular day or particular time of year.
So you mentioned this hotline. Have you had many people contacting you with concerns about water quality or questions during this time, during COVID-19?
Well, we get questions all the time, and we just produced our what we call consumer confidence report that's now getting mailed out to people. So we typically get questions from people. Not anything special. We haven't had any real kind of additional calls that people have asked for. So mostly people are concerned about lead in their water system. They've heard a lot about what's going on in Flint, Michigan. And so we get a lot of questions about that. But in general, no, we haven't had any extra special list of people or a number of calls that have increased as a result of that.
Does that surprise you, or does that kind of reinforce what in terms of the education and awareness campaigns that you all have been doing for a while? I don't know how long, but I've been here for 16 years in Albuquerque. And do you think it's because you have had a very successful awareness and education campaign and people then trust the water in Albuquerque?
Well, they should trust the water in Albuquerque. I can tell you that knowing the water supply here and knowing other water supplies in different locales, that we're blessed with a tremendously high quality water. The groundwater that we have is very pristine. We chlorinate it. Basically, that's it. We do have some arsenic on the west side, but we have really high quality. The water in the river is clean, although you look at it sometimes and you go, we're drinking that mud ball. But no, in general, we don't have a lot of industry upstream of us or anything like that. So we're really blessed. I think the education part of it, you hit that nail on the head. And there's a good part of that, right? People understand. They kind of know what we're doing. They trust us. On the other side of it, they have questions about, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And so those are good things. We've been educating people. We've been doing fourth graders since 1995, and those fourth graders are 30-year-olds now. And so, So I think, people do trust the water supply, and public trust is, as a utility, you can't You can't replace that. And it takes right. a lot of years to earn it and not very much shorter time to lose it, you know, if you do lose it. So we take right. that very seriously.
Why do you think people are hoarding bottled water in Albuquerque?
You know, that's a really good question. I you know, I don't want to say I laughed about it because it's not funny necessarily that people are mm-hmm. scared or they're worried about stuff. But we have no issues with our water supply. It's going to flow. Our guys are working every single day. Every one of our employees is an essential worker. We've been designated as essential workers by both the federal government, the president, and our governor. And so we're working every single day. So we have not had any shortage of water. And frankly, we probably never will, again, partly of that. I don't know why they're doing the toilet paper is always so funny to me. It's like, what in the heck is people doing with toilet paper? I don't know. But people get scared and they get worried and then people start talking and I think they just kind of play off each other. But we really don't have any issues with any of that, especially bottled water. I hope people aren't relying on bottled water as their source because it's really expensive. And our water is, in most cases, is better than the quality of the water in that bottle. You know, one of the things about bottled water is there's no regulatory requirements. So people don't really understand that. It's regulated by the Food and Drug Administration and not by the EPA. And so there's really no regulatory requirements. And in some cases, that water is worse than our water. So I would say, you know, stay the course. If you need to feel confident about, you know, if you're scared about something, put it in a jug and put it in your refrigerator or something. Just please don't buy bottled water because it's not necessary.
And so, If you could put out a, like talking with one of your neighbors and they asked you, is that what, you know, in terms of what you would tell them is just, you know, stay the course that, you know, you can trust our water and no need to go out and buy bottled water.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been a proponent of this for 25 years. I've told people don't waste your money on bottled water. Just take tap water, put it in a bottle. Save the plastic, but more importantly, you're just spending money that you don't need to spend. And I've been doing this for years. In fact, my wife gets very mad at people that buy bottled water because she knows a lot about water as a result of me talking to her all the time. And she hates waste, you know, solid waste issues and environmental issues. So I think, you know, I've been saying this for 25 years and my neighbors know me very well. And they've heard me a lot. Waste your water, turn off your sprinklers. What are you doing? Don't buy bottled water unless, you know, some people have health concerns. You know, some people are afraid of certain things and I get that. And I totally get that. And so maybe, you know, maybe they feel more comfortable doing that. And in that case, I guess, you know, if it makes you feel better or your helps with your anxiety, then, you know, that's a good thing. Take care of your health first. I mean, you know, obviously mental health with this COVID thing has been a big challenge, right. even here at the utility, honestly.
Well, and then, so I'm going to transition to the next question as you talk about at the utility and your various operators. Has your daily routine or those people who are on the ground, has it changed in with COVID-19?
It's changed a lot, very much so. We are social distancing with our folks. We are running the operation completely differently, even if, like I said, most of our workers are, we have about 30% that are working from home, but 70% of our people are here every day. We are not handling anything. It's a totally different operation. Every day we check in with each other. We find out how many employees are out, how many employees are in, are anybody has anybody been tested? Has anybody been tested positive? Which, by the way, none of our employees have tested positive. So we've been blessed that way. But no, totally different operations. We are checking on our folks every day. We let our people wait in vehicles by themselves. They go get their work orders by themselves. They hand sanitize their trucks every few hours. They're wearing masks. Just totally different situation than we did, you know, 4 months ago.
Right. And do you see this as potentially changing future operations? I mean, I always think about this, you know, when we come out the other end of COVID-19 into this new normal, do you think it's going to impact the operations?
Oh, I definitely think so. I think we learned a lot about the way we were doing things before and some of the things that we were doing right and some of the things we weren't doing right in the sense of just, you know, keeping separated, but also managing our work and how to manage it better. And so we can be more efficient. If you learned about, you know, honestly about positions that maybe we need or maybe we don't need, depending on the situation, maybe positions, new positions we need. But managing the risk has been a big challenge, but we've learned a lot, and we will definitely be managing the utility differently in the future. Absolutely. And it was really hard to kind of deal with all of this. We're still changing every day, every situation. The governor has new regulations, new rules, so we're adapting to that every single day. We're meeting with the public. Now, our people are going out more in the public, and so, you know, we're learning every day, but we're definitely going to change. This has been a very good thing in a lot of ways, and a very challenging thing in a lot of ways, but utility business has definitely changed.
So what has been, in terms of your job, I mean, that sounds, you know, taking this as an opportunity, which I think in many different professions and in our daily lives, we need to look at this as an opportunity for improving the way we operate. But is there something that, anything that keeps you up at night or anything that is a particularly big challenge that you've had to face in your job?
Yeah, I think, you know, managing our plant operations, you know, that's one thing that is always a challenge. We don't staff up for emergencies, so we don't work that way. We are as efficient as we possibly can. And so keeping people apart from each other, or saying if we have five people per shift, maybe we don't need five, maybe we need three today and three tomorrow, and sort of balancing that. That's been a big challenge because the water needs to keep flowing, the wastewater needs to be treated. So yeah, making sure our employees are safe, getting the right PPE, the protective equipment for them has been a challenge, because we're very sensitive to the medical profession and the people that need the N95 masks, for example, versus regular masks. And so, you know, being cognizant of that. But yeah, it's been a real change. You know, I was always involved. I'm a hands-on guy. And so I knew what was going on with the operations all the time anyway. But now we're having these daily conversations about specific shifts, about specific employees, about specific work. Does this work need to be done today? Can this work, you know, wait? How do we manage this work to have one person in the room or two? So it's a totally different picture in managing the folks and making sure they're safe, getting the work. And then also we have to plan a lot better. You know, you can't just call up the local supplier and say, hey, give me this. I need this pump. Right. You know, 'cause the pumps aren't readily available. The supply chain has changed tremendously. And so you have to plan and work better, which is why this operation of redundant systems and making sure we have, if one fails, we got a backup, or we got two backups or whatever. We've had that in place for a while, but now we're testing it because you can't get a pump. The pump now might be 5 months, whereas it used to be 2 weeks. Or you might be able to overnight it from Chicago, and now it's 4 weeks from Japan or something. And so it's a whole different kind of a situation. Interesting for sure, but no, I think the day-to-day has changed more than I think anybody would have ever imagined, honestly.
Do you think that's important for the public to understand in terms of changing operations and some of the challenges that you all are facing, so that they better understand the importance of, you know, is water, getting them to better understand all of these different, the complexity of getting water through their tap?
You know, that's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, we would really like them to not think, hey, nothing's changed. We're being efficient. We're working hard for them. We're representing them. We're keeping our rates low. We're doing all the things that we need to do to be a very good utility. So on the one hand, we'd rather them not think about it. On the other hand, it's very complex and it has a lot of challenges. And so just having that respect for the workers, you know, I respect my workers, and being in charge of the operations for 10 years now, I can't tell you how hard my guys work. And I say guys, it's my guys and gals that really, the men and women of this operations are amazing, and they care a lot. They represent the ratepayers every single day. They're working very, very hard. I know public entities, government entities get a lot of bad rap. You know, the picture of the seven guys standing around the shovel. But we do not operate that way, and we have not since this utility's been separated and we're our own governmental entity. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for my people that work for me, and I like them, and actually I love them a lot, and I care about them. But I can tell you the complexities of what they're going through has been a real challenge for them too. But you know what? They've stood up to that challenge, and they said, okay, we got this. You want to change the way we're doing it? Okay, how? What can we do? Here's some suggestions that we think that would work. And we said, okay, well, that's a really good idea. Let's listen to you. And so they've come around, and again, I'm just always impressed with the amount of diligence and faith that our guys and gals come in, and they work hard every day. I don't know that people appreciate that as much as I do. It's hard to, unless you see what they do every day. You just turn on the tap, it's there. Yeah. You flush the toilet, it's gone. You know, it's hard to appreciate that. But yeah, it's a double-edged sword. We really would rather them not say, is this really going to be an issue today? Because we don't want them to think about that. We want them to say, okay, we've got the water and sewer system. It's good. We're happy about it.
Right, right. Thinking about what are the rewards of the kind of job that you have, and also for the people who are on the ground. What kinds of rewards would you tell them are really critical to why you love your work?
Well, you know, first of all, you're serving the public. And if you can't enjoy or think about how rewarding that is, then this probably isn't a good place for you to work. You know, we pair people well and we have good benefits. I'm not going to suggest that that isn't part of it. But the real truth of it is, if you don't care about serving the public, then you shouldn't be in this business, because every single day, that person that could be next to you that has an issue with their water or sewer system, could be your mom, could be your grandmother, could be your cousin, could be a friend of yours. This is a very small community, even though it's 675,000 people. Everybody knows everybody. And so, you know, serving the public is the greatest benefit. And, you know, being a public servant, that's the biggest reward, is to be able to say, you know, every day I go to work and I love what I do because I know we're doing the service for the public and we're taking care of the public. I always say this, that the entire community was based on the water and sewer service. If we didn't have water and sewer service, or good water and sewer service, we'd have a hard time with businesses, with community interests, and it'd be a very difficult situation. And so I love serving the public. I know that the employees that work for us do. You know, we have a lot of fun jobs, and I hope that kids will think about not just engineering, but we have electricians, we have mechanics, we have people that serve utilities, we have utility workers, we have people in the office and accountants and all that stuff. We have really challenging jobs, fun jobs. I hope that kids will listen and think about, wow, how could I benefit the community? And, you know, I'm working for my mom, for example.
Right.
That can be challenging. You know, if you have a mom that's asking, you know, why are my rates going up, or, you know, those kinds of things. So,
right.
You know,
right.
It's fun. I really love what I do. And I am retiring, as I said, at the end of this year, but I'm not retiring because I'm tired or the work I do isn't fun. I'm retiring because I'm moving on to a new challenge in my life, and it's time for other people to take over that love this place just as much as I do.
What, if there's any message that, in terms of a message out to the public, what would that be if it was coming directly from you? And that could be you as, in terms of your job, what you do, but also in terms of the water utility. What's the message you would like to put out there?
I think of it kind of in three ways, right? The first thing is, we care about you. We care about what you think, and we care about the quality of the product that we're serving to you, and we care about your wastewater service. So if you have any questions or issues, you know, please get online, call us, whatever. We'd like to address that issue right away. I think that's number one. If you see something going on with the utility out in the, we have hotlines, we have dispatch, we have people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So don't hesitate to call us and tell us what's going on. You are the eyes and ears of what we do in a lot of ways. So we appreciate that very much. And then also, you should be, I hope you feel like you can trust us. I mean, I hope that, you know, after all of these years, that you can sit back and say, you know, I've been to other places. I taste the water. It doesn't taste good. I like the water in Albuquerque. And maybe you don't like the water in Albuquerque. If you don't, that's fine too. We'd like to hear why, because maybe there's something that's going on in your area. It's hard to say, but we'd like to hear from you. So we do really care about what we're doing. We care about what you think. We're running this utility for you. You know, our job is a fiduciary responsibility to you. The ratepayers own this system. The people that pay their bills every month, they own the system. They are the owners. We are not. We are just here to represent and hopefully provide a product that you're proud of. So hopefully that's the message that we would send. We care about you. Please trust us. But if you have questions, you know, please don't hesitate to call us, because we will talk to you about whatever issues you have. I promise you that.
Well, that's good to hear. And I would imagine that, you know, a lot of people, we take for granted, or we complain, but we don't think that, oh, I can call a hotline or send in an email comment and they're going to listen. But it's really good to hear that, you know, that you all, it seems like you take this personally, that this is part of what you do as a citizen of this Albuquerque community.
Well, I take that responsibility, and I do. And I mean, if somebody called me or emailed me personally, which my information is available online, you can see who the COO is, and you can call, and I will call you back. I would be glad to talk to you. You can email me. I'll respond to you. I'm very responsive because I care about what you think. But I think as a utility, we are working very, very hard to represent you and take care of this business. Utility has changed, and the operations have changed, and you know, you will see that kind of change in the future. And, you know, we report to our board on a regular basis. We have board meetings every month. We talk about the challenges and the issues, and you can watch those board meetings online. Oh. If you want to get on and zoom into the meeting, you can watch it. And usually it's on GovTV also. So okay. If you want to stay up with utility, ask questions, you know, be a part of the process if you care. And so hopefully, you know, get in touch with us if you have any issues.
Oh, that's great. I had no idea that I could zoom in to one of those conversations. And especially now that we're all getting used to being in Zoom land, you know, and if you have concerns, I'll be sure to post the links for that to our website. And so that people, if they are interested in that they can make that connection.
Sure, please do.
Yeah, definitely. So anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I would like to thank you and the opportunity just to speak to the public, to talk about these issues and the challenges we face. And I appreciate everything you're doing. So thank you very much for getting the message out. Thanks for caring about the utilities. And so appreciate your time too.
Well, thank you for the work that you do. You know, I think that, you know, we're talking about all the unsung heroes in our communities. And many of these people are individuals that we don't see on a daily basis or that we just don't think about. So thank you very much.
Well, I would love to say you're welcome, but I would also say you're welcome on behalf of all my employees. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones out there doing it. They're the mm-hmm. ones doing it. And we're lucky, we're blessed, we have a great boss. Our executive director, Mark Sanchez, has been at the utility for the last 16 years. And so we have a great boss and great leadership here. Our board's been very supportive. So, you know, this is a great job. And I love this place, and I've been very blessed to be part of it. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
It's very nice to meet you, and I wish you all the best and safe. Be safe, please.
Thank you for listening to this episode about our unsung water heroes in New Mexico. This project is supported by the UNM Grand Challenges Initiative, specifically the Sustainable Water Resources Team. Starting with the interdisciplinary team comprised of faculty, staff, and students from across the UNM main campus, thanks to Heather Himmelberger, Francine Stefan, and the rest of the staff at the Southwest Environmental Finance Center. Many thanks to the faculty and students in the Department of Film and Digital Arts. Thank you, James Stone and Dan Galassini, who worked with undergraduate students to produce this podcast. Thank you, Lizzie Embick, Jace Redoblado, and Felina Martinez for all of your hard work producing the podcast. And thank you to my research assistants, Samantha Stroud and Melissa Madrigal, undergraduate students in the departments of Geography and Environmental Studies and Community and Regional Planning. We appreciate Eileen and the In-Betweens, a local social justice indie folk group who have graciously allowed us to use their fabulous music in this podcast. And last but not least, a big thanks to the water utility personnel in Albuquerque. Thank you for taking the time to participate in this podcast. If you would like to learn more about this project, please visit our website, efla.unm.edu. And for the Albuquerque Water Utility Authority, please go to www.abcwua.org. Thanks, and see you next time.